Start with the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything that I think I know about you, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, have grace and mercy on me. Help us to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it's September 24th, right? And I believe it was September 24th, or one or two days around that, in 2008 that I started the Saturday meeting. And so this is starting our 15th year, and I was thinking I've probably done at least 600 Saturday morning meetings. You know, we didn't do every week. I did take some vacations, but... And during COVID, we did it every Saturday on Zoom. And so that's kind of neat. It's God working in my life. It's not about Michael. And when Curtis died in August of 2008, I didn't know what to do. That night, we actually put him in the ground and buried him. And I remember I was feeling uneasy, and I've told the story before, but I thought I'd go swim for a few minutes and listen to what was ever on my swim MP3. And I listened, and it was Joe and Charlie on the third step. And then I remember getting out of the pool, and I got down on my knees. I said the third step prayer. I can still see that. And I wanted to do something positive out of this. I didn't want to be one of those people who goes around, oh, poor Michael, his son died. And everybody, you know, oh, you're great, you're doing whatever it is. And I had been thinking about doing a big book study where we went through it, because Joe and Charlie had made a big difference in my life. And at that time, we didn't have an expository big book study. We had a few where we read the whole book, all the stories, the whole 12 of 12, we just read it. And I had actually started a meeting in this room on the big book about 3 years before that, but we just read. And it wasn't until I listened to Joe and Charlie that I realized, wow, I'm missing the whole deal. I didn't understand what was in this book and how it was a spiritual book of spiritual truth. It was a treasure map to God. And so God put the idea in my head, teach the big book. So it's kind of like Abraham. You know, he said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of nations and all this. And Abraham says, I'm 90 years old. I don't have any kids. And Sarah's 90 years old. How's that going to happen? And God said, don't worry. And he believed God. And God said, do this. So I decided this last Saturday to start the meeting. And I had notebooks. And I would listen, and I would listen through the years to everybody who ever talked about the steps, all the speakers on XA, all the, because every day I'd ride the exercise bike before I went to work, and I'd listen to, when I wasn't listening to medicine, I listened to AA. And I saw the notebooks the other day. I'm getting ready to pack, and there's about 10 of them, 12 of them. And it's been a, now I don't need the book, the notebooks, and because I've lived it by doing this. I don't know if that makes sense. But by doing the meeting, I'm living the steps all the time. And I've seen so many people, and we had a birthday celebrate 13 years, and I've known him the whole time, and others, and it's been special. It's been a gift from God. I don't take credit, it's not my meeting, and I'm not brilliant and this and that. Well, God gave me a good mind. I didn't realize when I grew up in Baltimore in the 50s that I'd be doing an AA meeting in Topeka, Kansas in 2022. I didn't even know where Kansas was. And it's interesting the plan God had for me. And so it says, when we look back, the things that have happened when you put yourself in God's hands were better than anything you could have predicted. And now we're planning to move, and we're going to move near my granddaughter, who's my little princess, who lives on a farm near Chapman, Kansas, and I'm going to end up my days in Junction City or someplace out west, and the, you know, and who would have thought, but I have a very simple life now. I don't need much. I'll find a Bible study there. I'll find AA meeting. It'll be good. And it's just the way it worked out. And in this room was where Brian would come on Tuesday night, where they were my test group. You see, I'd test them. I'd study, and then I'd do a presentation. And Brian's probably the only person who survived that those months. And then after the Saturday meeting, I started a Wednesday night and a Sunday night meeting. And we went through the steps we took and the book. And eventually, we started the website in 2017. People wanted me to record it so that if they missed the meeting, you get this? If they missed it, they could hear it. Those people are not here anymore. And I don't know if they're listening to the meeting. But Lyle's here. Lyle, I want to thank Lyle for becoming an alcoholic, because he's an IT guy, and he got us on WordPress, right? And then I had another spotsy who was a very high-level executive in Connecticut, but he had trouble getting along with people. Can you understand that, alcoholics? So he came here with his wife, and he put the site together. And that was in July of 2017. And he doesn't come here anymore because I talk about God too much, but you know, that's okay. I love him, and I still see him from time to time. I think he's sober, but he put the site together, and that was in 17. And I think we've had 280,000 downloads or something. So God had a plan for me that I couldn't have envisioned in February 8th of 2002, when I got down on my knees and I was completely defeated. My life was a effing mess. Brian thinks his was bad, but I think mine was worse than Brian. But we'll talk about that afterwards. But I wasn't. I didn't surrender. I was surrendered. I was completely defeated, and gave up. And then God put people in my life. And then I remember the day that Curtis died. That morning, I got the call from the emergency room, and they told me he had died. And I knew he was struggling, but he had a plan that he was supposed to go in the Navy that Tuesday, and he was going to come and visit his friends and visit me that Sunday, that day. And I remember on page 67, I was at the bottom of the stairs, and this 68 actually, I'm getting old, and I saw this line. Isn't it interesting how God works? I saw this line. Now, I had been studying the book, and it said, just to the extent that I do as I think he would have me, and humbly rely on him, does he enable me to match calamity with serenity. And I saw that. I could still see that line. You see, God works in mysterious ways. And then, of course, there were so many people in AA who helped me and got me through all that. And so today I was thinking about all that. I hope it wasn't hard to listen to that. Nobody got up and left yet. Nobody's laughing at my jokes today. All right, thank you, Julie. So today we're actually on page 17 in the big book.
Well, thank you for being pliable to God, Dr. Mike, and bringing this to us.
You're welcome. God gets all the credit, you know. If I take credit for anything, then my ego's rebuilding. And I do take credit for trying to do God's will for me. And so we're on There Is a Solution today, which Joe and Charlie says is the page that everybody has to understand in AA, that this may be the most important page in the book in terms of the message. And we've gotten through Bill's story and doctor's opinion. Doctor's opinion tells us what's wrong with us. A lot of people come to AA and they don't know what their their problem is. They don't know what makes them an alcoholic. And they learn a lot in treatment, but it's pretty simple. I have no power to choose not to drink. Did anybody have that problem? And I could not control how much I drank when I drank. Anybody have that? So I've lost control and choice. And I didn't see that when I first came in, but as I studied the book and they explained it to me, I could see it. And then the other problem I had was I couldn't live sober in the world and be at peace. I was always uneasy, and I got irritated a lot, and I had a lot of fear. Did anybody have those kind of things? And the doctor's opinion says we're irritable, restless, and discontented. And unless we experience the ease and comfort of alcohol, we succumb to it. And so we drink to treat living sober without God. And so that's the deal in doctor's opinion. And he describes the spiritual experience. And I've just done I'm going to put out part six on what the spiritual experience is. And I've done talks at home and how it relates to what's in the book and what it looks like and how you get it and how you keep it. And I just finished a look at step four and how that is in terms of the spiritual experience. So if you're interested in step four, that's part five of the talks. And so then we have Bill's story, which every time we read, it's more powerful. And he wrote this in 1938, and it's his story of what he was like, what happened, and then what he was like when he wrote this. And he had a hopeless condition of mind and body. And this book is written for people who have a hopeless condition of mind and body. And if you don't see that you have a hopeless condition of mind and body, the book won't mean anything to you. If you still have a lurking notion that you're not that bad or that you're not an alcoholic and you don't need to work these steps, and you won't do it. This book was written for defeated people, people who were done. And it has specific directions on how to recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Now, I didn't know how to do that. In fact, I went to AA for a few years, and I know this is hard to believe, but I went to a lot of discussion meetings, and I loved the talk. What a shock. And I loved to pontificate on crap that I knew nothing about, you know, because I would hear it from other people. And then I listened to Joe and Charlie, and I said, oh my, I didn't know any of this was in the book. I didn't understand the program. I didn't understand what was required for me to have a relationship with God. And that was one of the great spiritual moments of my life. I've had a few others, a lot since. But to me, that was my moment like Bill had in the town's hospital. And it took me a while to listen to Joe and Charlie. I'd won it at a meeting in this room, the CDs. But I'm a smart guy. And, you know, I have degrees. So what could Joe and Charlie from Arkansas possibly treat? It sounded like a country band or something, a hillbilly band with the Envision with those instruments. You know, I have some strange ideas. And this guy was speaking, and he was a doctor, and he was very, had 10 years or 12 years of sobriety. And he said he didn't know anything about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous to listen to Joe and Charlie. So I'm listening to him, and I'm looking at these CDs. I said, Joe and Charlie, and maybe, here's the beginning of my spiritual experience. Maybe I could learn something from this. You get it? Maybe it could help me. I understand probably not, but maybe it could help me. And it changed my life. And it probably took me a day after I listened to him and looked at that before I listened to him. And so Bill's story is very powerful. We've just gone through it. I'm going to put up the last part today on the site. And how he went from alcohol was his master, surrounded by quicksand, to then living 37 more years is just amazing. And he wasn't perfect. He had a lot of faults. But God used him, kept him sober till he met Dr. Bob, and we're on a vision for you on Wednesday night, and we listened to how Bill met Dr. Bob in the Mayflower Hotel in 1935, and we're here today. And so I hope everybody here will take advantage of the gift you've been given to come to AA and have this book and find somebody who's done it and work it with them. And if you've done it, find somebody to help. Don't worry about not doing it right or being good enough to do it. We worry about that. Or you're going to make somebody worse. You can't do it. But you might help yourself. You probably will. Whenever I work, Brian said it, whenever I work with somebody, it's a mirror. I see myself, and I learn more, and I grow spiritually. And if we don't give it away, we won't have anything. Now, in AA today, I think we have a lot of people in NA who haven't done this. And then they're teaching others whatever they did. And it's not good or bad, but it's not this. And this worked for me. So if it's not working for you, whatever you're doing, do this with somebody. And that's why I have the site, because I've gone through the book and the instructions several times. And so we're going to read, "There is a solution." It doesn't say this might be a solution for you. Does it say that? No. And it doesn't say this is one of many solutions. No. It says there is a solution, and this is their testimony. The first members, maybe 70 people, of what the solution looked like to them. And they're going to tell you what they did, and we read it today. If you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, and if you're willing to do it, then you know we have these steps. And don't balk at them. Half measures won't work. And how do you know if you're doing half measures? Well, you're not following directions and going through. It doesn't take long to get through the steps and get into 10 and 11 and living every day. It doesn't take long to do a fourth step, because it doesn't say that you have to do it perfectly and you're going to be on CNN or Fox News and somebody's going to dissect your fourth step. It's not happening. What you're learning is tools on how to live a spiritual life, how to deal with your emotions so you don't have to drink and you can go to God. So I'm probably rambling, but that's okay. There is a solution. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands now. It's millions now, right? And I don't have my original manuscript book. It's probably in the car. And I don't know if it's still thousands in the original one. I think it was hundreds of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Now, we've just finished Bill's story, and he was hopeless. But yet he was able to write his story. So what happened to Bill? And he tells you what he did in pages 12 to 14. And now they're going to tell you what they've done in the book up to page 112. And it says, "Nearly all have recovered." And so that's another word that's confusing. Recovered means you're not hopeless anymore. It means you have an access to God and that you're not obsessed with drinking all the time. Anybody had been obsessed to drinking before you came in here or using? Anybody dominated by alcohol or drugs or gambling or sex or whatever? It dominates your thinking. Recovered means it's not dominating your thinking. And when you think about it, something tells you, bad idea. Now, that's a very fragile state. Brian talked, you don't get a degree and a certificate in AA recovered. Michael has recovered, and then we all stand up, we get our certificate, we go home. No. Recovered is fragile. It's a daily reprieve from alcoholism. And it's based upon your spiritual condition. And so recovered is fragile, but you want to be recovered. You don't want to be in recovering, because you want to be at the place where God's working in your life. Does this make sense at all? And if you're not there, you're at risk because you don't know when the certain time will be that your mind will say, get a drink, Michael. You've been sober 20-some years. You can drink. And, you know, I might say, you know, you're right. Made too much of this. I can quit anytime. You know, I'll have a drink today. And I don't want to do that. But alcohol is a very subtle foe. It's in a bottle, right? It's a liquid. So I'm fighting with a liquid in a bottle. Is that crazy? But it's what it's going to do for me that I'm fighting. And I can't remember what it's going to do to me right before I drink. And that's the problem with alcoholism. That's why most people don't make it. So nearly all have recovered. So I wrote, not hopeless anymore, have access to God. They've tapped an inner resource. And it says, selling the program. He's selling it now. And he's doing a sales job. And he's trying to get people to read more after his story, because they put Bill's story before the solution for identification, message of hope. They have solved the drink problem. Now, here's the question, who solves the drink problem? God. I don't solve the drink problem. I seek the power that solves it. Do you get that? I make a choice to seek the power that gives me choice. That's what we do in AA. We're God seekers, and then God gives me the choice. Now, that may sound like some abstract thing, but it works. If you start seeking, God can and will if he were sought. Have you ever heard that read? It's read at every meeting, and everybody chants it, in Topeka at least. But it's true. He can and he will if you seek him. That's a promise. It says, we are average Americans. Don't worry, I'm only going to read two more paragraphs. We are average Americans, all sections of this country. I think we're average Americans, but you know, we're all above average. You understand, alcoholics, we're exceptional people in our minds. We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. And you can see that. I see people today that I know well that I would never have met if I hadn't come to AA. And actually, I have more easier relationships with the people I meet in AA than the people I meet in church. It's just different. We have a bond. He's going to talk about that. It says, we are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. Now, when they wrote this book, everybody in the fellowship had worked the steps. You didn't stay in AA at those three meetings if you weren't working the steps. And they worked or tried to work before they even came to the meeting. You had to do the third step, and they would decide if you were really serious about this thing, if you were really ready to do it. And so it was a fellowship of the Spirit, which is on page 164 when the book ends. It says, we hope you will join us in the fellowship of the Spirit. Think about that. It's no longer a fellowship of people who are just alcoholics. It's a fellowship of people who are seeking God together. And I feel most of the time that God's presence is in this room. And I used to, on Saturdays, I used to have to go to the hospital, make rounds, and run over to the meeting. And I had Charlie used to help me open up. And after I did the meeting, I had done the work in the hospital that I thought I needed to do. Occasionally, they would call me. This is alcoholism. You think I'm great? You know, I make the rounds. I visit with the staff. I go to the meeting, and then they call me when I get out about a consult that they knew about when I was standing right there at the nurse's station. You get it? And so I had to practice the principles of all my affairs. But most of the time, I didn't have to do that. And I would come home after doing the meeting on Saturdays, And I couldn't tell you, it was the best I felt. I couldn't tell you how good I felt. There was something about doing it, being together. I felt okay. It was better than anything alcohol or drugs could have done. And I'll probably feel that way today. It's just something. And so I've been doing it for 15 years, so how many, who knows? And it says, there exists a friendliness and an understanding. We understand each other, which is indescribably wonderful. We laugh when people tell us about, you know, their adventures before they got in here. And we laugh. Normal people would say, wow, you know, so you drove the wrong way on the highway? And we're all laughing, but because we know it's something we could have done. We're laughing out of understanding and comradeship. We're not laughing at the person. We're laughing at how we could have all done the same thing. It says we're like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck. And that's the thing you have to understand. I was shipwrecked when I came here. Titanic was 23 years ago, so a lot of the people haven't seen it, but it was pretty popular when I started this meeting. Everybody had seen it. And they hit the iceberg. The ship hit the iceberg, and they're in the cold water, and they're freezing, and a boat comes along, and somebody offers a hand to pull you out. Now, that's what AA does. We're offering a hand to people who are in the water off of Greenland and are in deep doo-doo. You get it? And some won't reach out. I don't know why. But we reach out and we get in the boat. Now they say at the end of this chapter, that's the desperation of a drowning man. That the flimsy reed becomes the hand of God. And that's happened to me. I can't explain it if you're new, but it will happen. And it's something you can depend and rely on. So we're all shipwrecked when we come in here. Now, if you don't know you're shipwrecked, then you're constitutionally, you will not or cannot give yourself to the simple program. You're constitutionally incapable of being honest with yourself. So there are people who come in here who are shipwrecked. They're in the water. And they still think there's a way out besides getting in the boat. And they can't and they won't do this program. Now, why some people are like that, they say constitutionally incapable. And I don't know. But you see that when you've been doing this a long time, you've worked with a lot of new people, you see it. And it's sad. And I can't do anything to make them see that they're shipwrecked. And when you work with someone, you say, boy, they're shipwrecked. But they don't see it. They give you excuses why they don't have to do something and this and that, and then they kind of drift away, and you feel really bad. But then some of them come back, and they're here for years, and they make it. So we don't know when somebody sees that they're shipwrecked or not. And they have camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel, from steerage to captain's table. Now, what they're talking about here is that in the old days, these cruisers, they had the rich people, and you couldn't get to where the rich people were because they had these different stairs, and they were blocked off. And then they had people in the bottom with their birds and all their stuff in the steerage. And the captain's table was for the richest of the rich. But we're all, and so unlike the feelings of the ship passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. So on the Titanic, they all got to shore and they're hugging each other and this and that, and then people went their separate ways. But we have the feeling of sharing in a common peril. And so that keeps us together, right? We don't want to go our separate ways because that's how we got shipwrecked, right? We want to go in a direction together to God using this book and using our sharing our experience, strength, and hope. And so it says the feeling, the fellowship, though, is not enough cement. Do you understand that? the fellowship itself. And we tell people go to 90 meetings in 90 days, so that's great. You go to meetings, you tell everybody you're an alcoholic for 90 days, but that won't keep you sober day 91. You have to do something. I don't know where they got 90 days. When we started to do Zoom, it was 50 states in 50 days. We had people, and they would find Kansas, you know, because we're the middle of nowhere. And it sounds good, and it's a good goal, and I'm not knocking it, but we need more than that. It says the feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement that binds us. But that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. And think about it. We have a common peril, we're all in here together. It's one element of the cement, but that won't save me. That won't save us. We need something else besides being shipwrecked and alcoholics. And here it is, one paragraph, like five lines. The tremendous fact, not just the fact, but the tremendous fact, this is a great fact. For every one of us, every one of the people who had recovered, is that they had discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree. They had a way out of this, which was the 12 steps and the program of recovery on which they could agree. There was no discussion, do you need all the steps? Do you need to do this? Isn't this a little dramatic and blah, blah, blah? There was none of that because they had the desperation of a drowning man and upon which we can join in a brotherly and harmonious action. So that's what the fellowship was all about. People who were joined in brotherly and harmonious action. The going to the meetings and being in the fellowship is good, but it's not the cement. It's the action of doing the steps that binds us together. Sounds like I'm preaching, but I believe that. I mean, this is the message. I hope everybody understands that. And I have to remember that. I have to pray every day. I have to seek God every day. I have to work the steps every day at 10, 11. It says, this is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. So we have the Bible as the good news, it's the gospel. And this is the great news book for us. I'm not saying that this is the same as the New Testament, don't write New York and all that. But for me, this is the great news because I had no way out. And I can't tell you how much it's helped me. And that's why I teach the book. I believe in it. I don't worship this. This is a treasure map to the treasure. Now, I didn't have a treasure map, so I use this treasure map, and I believe in it. So that's why I feel strongly about it. And so I'd like to see more people get into the treasure map so they can find the treasure so they can take somebody else through the treasure map. And that's how AA was in the beginning, but it's gotten away from that now. And so I'm going to start with that. So I wrote, fellowship, I never do that, I always say one more thing. Fellowship is a common peril, then we have a common solution, which is the way out, which is harmonious action. And it can't be my solution. And the other thing that Joe Charlie said that made sense to me was when you come to AA, if you want what they have, you're gonna make their cake. They give you the directions, like on a Pillsbury cake mix. My wife showed me there's specific directions if you want Pillsbury's cake. So if I want AA's cake, I have to do this. Now if I change the directions, I get Michael's cake. And Michael's cake didn't work. It got me a wristband. And so I really believe in this cake, and I hope people find this cake. And then AA says, if you bake our cake, tell us what you got. So that's it. I'm done. Thank you.